This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, August 25th, 2015, episode 32. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, change logs, developments, strategies, and speculation each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me, as he does each and every week, Brian Aldridge. What's going on, Brian?
Not too much. If you want to find me on the internet, you can go to first, biteoftech.com with an I. And, well, don't say that all the way out, but with an I on biteoftech.com. Or if you want to go to google.com/+Brian Aldridge, that'll take you right to my Google Plus page. And our website is an excellent way to get a hold of both of us.
Now, Brian, you do know that they are phasing out Google Plus, correct? Like, Google's announced that they're getting rid of Google Plus. I mean, what are you going to move on to next?
They're not getting rid of
Google. No, they are getting rid of Google Plus. They are literally canning Google Plus.
They are toning it down.
So you're still going to be promoting your Google Plus?
Well, it's still a way to get a hold of me.
You can get a hold of me. It's what is it? It's plus.google.com/+Nick Craig is my Google Plus, I think. I know I have the vanity URL.
You don't have a google.com/+Nick Craig?
I do. I have it. Yeah, I have it. I have my vanity URL.
If you put plus.google.com/+.
It is.
Google.com/+Nick Craig.
Oh, thank you very much, Brian. It's not even going to work. Somebody's going to go there and be like, this isn't even him. It's a 404. What's going on here? This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. We bring you the latest news on H1Z1. And I was a little concerned going into this week, Brian, because there wasn't a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of content to talk about. But
up until today,
and some stuff started popping up. So let's get right into our first story here, Brian. It's a possible wipe, and you brought this up. This is Brian. I'm going to tell you this right now. This is breaking news.
Yes.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for this. Let's do it.
There you go. It's breaking news, Brian.
All right. So this is actually legitimate because, first of all, someone from Daybreak posted that this is going to happen. We kept hearing hints of, hey, there's going to be a wipe. And here's an actual quote from 3 days ago from Legion CM, which I think is Greg. Or he usually posts from that one.
Yeah, that's
it. And it says that may not be. He's responding to someone. He says that may not be the case. I've heard rumblings of a wipe next week when we implement some serious server performance improvements.
So that was 3 days ago. So if we're going to assume that, we're going to talk about
next week,
the 31st to the 4th of September, somewhere in that.
He said that what he would probably consider the beginning of the week, right?
So, yeah.
So it may be coming up
the first or second of September. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the latest.
Now, this is always dangerous because now people will play less.
We had the great wipe apocalypse of 2015 where the wipe was scheduled for, like a month and a half before it actually happened.
People just stopped playing for like a month and a half.
But now this wasn't an official announcement. So this is just rumblings.
He said rumblings.
Take it for what it's worth.
It's not official.
I mean, at this point, I wouldn't stop playing the game because of this comment, but I'm not playing the game anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
But most people are doing VRs anyway.
Exactly.
Which this doesn't affect at all.
And that's what's interesting. And later on in the show, we might be able to get into current players, which is interesting. But Steam has been having some problems throughout the day. So
we may not know exactly what's happening right this moment.
Yeah, the numbers might not be accurate, but we'll have the pretty graphic, I'll tell you that much. So, you know, the interesting thing here, Brian, is what could they possibly be doing for server-side improvements? Are Horde-based? I mean, what... I haven't been noticing any server. I mean, the server's been a little laggy, but...
So, okay, here may be what's going on. Because remember when they started rubber banding like crazy?
Yes.
Like something they changed made some rubber banding happen like crazy. That would probably be because perhaps they were moving some things more server-side, less client-side.
Okay.
And it could have caused some major issues on their servers.
But now, my question...
Also, tons of people are playing BRs, and that's a lot of server power going that way. So I'm wondering if they're starting to offload some things more server side, maybe adding more zombies, which is more server side.
But I have a question.
Yeah.
Why would that require a wipe? That's what I'm not understanding. I don't understand the correlation between a game wipe. I mean, unless they're rebuilding the servers, possibly. But I just don't think so.
No. It could be, well, it could be they're rebuilding servers, but also it could be that they are, what they're considering server performance improvements. Either this could be they're changing something physically on the hard drives as far as parts, or it could be that they're redoing some things on the map to make it more efficient. That is another possibility.
That's what I'm not sure about. I mean, right. If you said
some serious server performance improvements, I don't know if they may be just upgrading their servers.
So is that what you think?
To handle more players, or maybe to handle more BR things. You know, they're getting more powerful servers overall so that they can handle, I don't know, probably more AI, all these things that maybe they're a little bit limited because of the current power of their servers. He doesn't really say anything. He doesn't say exactly what it is, but serious server performance improvements. It could be software, it could be hardware. He doesn't hint at that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was a little iffy. I was like, so, you know, why would they have to do that wipe? So we'll see. Maybe early next week, maybe late next week, maybe the week after. But Brian, like you said, though, everybody's playing BR. So I don't think wipes, this is the first time I think we're going to have a wipe that really doesn't matter. I'm not going to go gung-ho the day after the wipe to get on and get a base built.
Well, Falcon made a note when we first started talking about this. He said that people are kind of burnt out on rebuilding.
Yeah.
I think until they either redo the base building system or they make some serious improvements to things you can add to bases to make it to where it does feel like it's actually something different. I mean, the towers was something different, but it didn't make a drastically different base. I know that they've hinted to possibly making a click together platform system. A snap two system. Mm-hmm. That would be one thing that maybe would bring people back because they'd really want to experiment to what they could actually do with that.
Yeah. But I would agree with him. I mean, you know, here's the thing. I'm not normally the one that's doing the base building, but I'm worn out of going into the game and having to brainstorm a base. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter. We build a base and then we play for like 3 days after and then we stop playing because it's boring. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
If you're looking at this realistically, the hype for building a base is enormous. You're oh my god, we got to get on, we got to build this base. People are playing 26 hours a day to build the base, and then nobody's playing.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. They'll build the base initially,
exactly.
But the problem is also you'll have people. If you just get one person who's frustrated or mad at your clan, they'll go and keep constantly trying to blow everything up. And it's just like, well, you know, why would I want to keep anything in there?
Yeah.
The base rating system is such an immediate process. It's not like a drawn out, we're going to start doing something to raid your base. And it's not like a gameplay thing. It's just like, we're going to try to blow stuff up and we'll do it in the next 15 minutes. And if we can do it, we will.
That's the one thing they need to figure out, Brian. And I don't understand the base. I don't even know the base rating system is so quick. You have no time to react. You have no time to react unless you just happen to log on.
They could make it something that you maybe set some explosives. You do something that's an extended period of time to where it doesn't happen immediately. And then those tripwire systems and the notification system,
they need
that
an alarm.
Something that would notify your clan and get everybody logged in. I mean, that would be cool. That would get people on. Right now, it's like we can't sit there and watch our base all the time. So it's not really worth putting anything in the base.
Exactly. The base consists of like some random materials and some food until somebody comes in and blows every single door away. And then...
Well, we find that, yeah, usually they'll blow everything up and they don't always get in. They'll just blow up all the containers.
Yes.
Before the doors and everything even blow up.
Yeah. So, I mean, Brian, we've been saying this for 5 months now about the current base rating system and how that's just got to change. So possible server wipe some point next week. And we will bring you details on that if we know. I mean, realistically, Brian,
they may not say a word until it happens.
I mean, this is gonna be early next week, right?
If he says to a week, yeah, it could be next Tuesday. I mean, very possibly.
So, Brian, the question is, if you have to guess, and back this up, when is this wipe going to be?
I would think it would probably be Monday or Thursday, like Monday night going into Tuesday morning, or Thursday. That would be my guess. Not this Thursday, the Thursday after.
Yeah. Joe says tonight. There you go.
Could be. Those are rumblings.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know what those are. We'll see. I guess we'll just have to see. I don't think it'll happen next week.
Yeah.
The fact that it's server-side stuff means they're really gonna have to thoroughly test it. Like, this is, you can't half-ass doing server stuff.
One reason is they could be swapping out all of these servers in preparation for this tournament, right? Because they want all new servers. They want everything to be totally stable. So they could be doing a major swap out of servers, and they're just, rather than trying to move hard drives over, mm-hmm. you know, whatever they're trying to do, or data, just let's do a wipe, start fresh, put in new servers, and we're going to go for this tournament.
So we had a really good post this week by Greg, Legion CM on Twitter, about what's going on Daybreak here. So I'm going to kind of ad lib a little bit what he said. If you're a hardcore H1Z1 fan and you're into all this stuff, I'd recommend go reading his post. You can do that. The show notes will be on infectionpodcast.com. In my opinion, I think he's referring to some of the crap Daybreak has been getting due to them.
Constantly they're getting crap.
Yeah, but in this situation, the crap for them holding an invitational tournament while their game is in alpha. I think that's some of the crap that he's referring to in this post. That's what I took away after reading it, why I think this post was warranted. But he's just giving a little update on what's going on at Daybreak, and, you know, stuff about TwitchCon and everything else. But some of the stuff that he talks about here are the new points of interest, which we've been talking about for a really long time now. So some of that stuff is the hospital, which we'll get into soon, a little bit later on in this show. The new zombie types, we have the Screamer that they've been talking about for a while now. Female zombies, and, you know, maybe different variations of the current zombies. A guild/clan system. In this one, he says one mainly for permissions, which is what we've been asking for.
That's version one. Yeah,
we definitely need that. Going into professions and then base building stuff as well. So it was more just like a, hey, you know, let's round everything that's been going on Reddit for a little while into one post, and that's kind of what this was. So, you know, just talks about some of the stuff that's going on survival.
And they are going to be putting a big push into the survival aspect of this game.
Yeah.
I know they got a lot of flack that it's been kind of getting away from survival and mm-hmm. getting to more of a first person shooter, or, you know, whatever
a PvP
the game is becoming.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it has left what they claimed it would be, which is a survival zombie game, right? And how much do zombies really have to do with this game right now? Almost nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And how much does survival really have to do with this game?
Yeah, and that's, of course, going back to last week when we talked about the different game modes that they're rolling out. You know, the core, the survival, the survival PV, stuff like that. So the different game modes, all referencing that. But Brian, we had something pretty astonishing in this post, and that was the pictures of the new... it's the Kurama Medical Center, I believe. Is, I don't know how it's pronounced. It's the K-U-R-A-M-A.
Is it Kurama?
Kuruma. I'm not the Kur-A-M-A, the Kur Ask Me Anything Medical Center.
okay. Yeah, that's how that'll work.
Yeah. So these are some, like,
renders.
These are some nice finished renders. Like, we've had very few,
you've seen ones that are like far away from up above.
They're far away. They're like a bunch of objects out on a planning field. This is a full on, like the morgue picture that we saw last week or the week before. There was a full render of that section of the building. So let's get into that right now. This first one, Brian, is what appears to be some type of operating table, or maybe an ultrasound machine or something like that.
Yeah, like some sort of a ultrasound scanning, maybe an X-ray type of machine.
Mm-hmm. And this looks
travels
like
travels along the body to scan it.
Exactly. And this is this would be like a testing room in the hospital, it looks like. The next one here is, when I first saw this, I did a double take. I was like, that looks a lot like Zim's.
It looks like it's by the dam, too.
It does.
If you look like that, it looks like a dam. Or are they saying it's that huge of a complex that there's a bunch of stuff underneath of it? I was trying to figure out what all that is.
Now, I couldn't tell if this was where it's actually going to be located or if they just threw a bunch of mountains and stuff around it to populate it so it didn't look stupid when they posted the images, which is a possibility.
Now, I'm kind of wondering why they have that the steep concrete cutoff, you know, that drop.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling maybe they're just testing stuff on the world. But this is without a roof, and it looks like it goes up another level.
Yeah, because you see some things to the side of it, which do seem to go up more.
Yeah, like it looks like an elevator shaft on the backside of the building going up one more. And then there's also this cool little fountain thing in the front, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So that's that. There's a lot of wrecked vehicles in there. This seems like it's going to be a really good PvP spot. Like I think you could, Brian, this would be a location where I think you could have a long-range PvP battle.
Yeah.
Similar to...
Or if it's something that you can get and kind of post people around different sections of it, you can try to hold it. Because it's quite a run from wherever you're at around the outside of that parking lot to get inside. You could have a group of people that could kind of hold that down.
Yeah. And, now, you know, this is... When I saw the parking lot, it almost kind of reminded me of the Romero's parking lot in Pleasant Valley. How sometimes you can have a gunfight from Romero's and all, it goes all the way back to those other shops. That's the kind of gunfights I would imagine you'd be having in a parking lot that size. And in comparison, that medical center is pretty big. I mean, that's going to be 3, 4, 5 good solid floors of rooms to explore and stuff to do, which is really good for the game. It's something they need. Because now it's, you know what, 30 seconds in and out of a building. You only go to the spot where loot spawns and then you're done.
And I would assume this would have a high population of zombies as well, since this is supposedly kind of where it started.
You would hope so. Like this area should spawn more. This should be, it should be a pain to get to this area. Like you should have to constantly be fighting off zombies, I think, if you're in this area. Which I don't think they have yet. I think the zombies are the same all across the map.
And that could be part of what these server improvements are having to kind of fix. Maybe they found that when they added, remember we had so many zombies, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, like to the point where you would just walk around a little area and then you had 100,000 zombies on you.
Yeah, I that was overboard, but maybe they found that that could have been just for testing to see what the load was. Maybe they're at a point right now where it doesn't really affect server performance with the number of zombies and animals we have. I would think that once they improve these servers, they could kick that up and we'll see more zombies, because that's one thing I really miss. I mean, I personally enjoy having a lot of zombies because it kind of kills, it doesn't kill, it lessens the PvP aspect of the game, kill on sight aspect, because people are more, they can't sit there and just wait for people to come by to shoot them all the time. You know, if you wait too long in the middle of PV when there was lots of zombies, there's a good chance you would die.
Exactly. So Brian, let's get on to our next picture here. This is similar to the other one. This is some type of X-ray machine.
Looks like a different angle of that same one.
Yeah, it's
one.
Definitely a different angle.
The other side.
There's a lot of that in this, so we'll kind of motor through this. The next one is a different angle of the hospital. It looks like an ambulance bay that's close up to us on this part. One thing that they really need to have is a helipad on the roof. That's a must for a hospital. You talk about that whole in-game aspect. That would be cool, having a helipad there. But some type of bay drop-off area there. And you can see it almost looks like a parking garage maybe attached to it as well. So you can see that there. That's a different angle of that. Next, another even closer view of that operating or that ultrasound table or whatever it is. You can see some controls.
Is that
there.
An X-ray machine?
Possibly.
There's radiation, so.
Yeah, so something that's doing X-rays. You can see the name of the hospital's on there. The controls are on there. There's blood splattered everywhere. So you can see that. Next one, this is a front view of the hospital, and you can see that fountain there with the sign.
And here's another thing that you haven't seen a ton of. You see that they're implementing those body bags of people. And I'm really hoping to see, like Sebastian had hinted at, like a squirming body bag.
Just a freaking
That would be totally cool. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard with where they're at graphics-wise right now with with the DirectX 9, but I think they could kind of do something to where just you could see a little bit of movement with that. But that's, yeah, that's that fountain, and you can kind of see another angle. But that's the kind of thing they need to where you just see the dead zombies around. Because right now, you don't really see dead things around.
Unless you're killing them.
Yep.
And also, you can see the open grave there. And there's also some type of security at the beginning as well. You can see the corner of a stop sign there. Moving on to our next one. This is just some floor signs that you would see posted throughout the hospital. You know, x-ray, radiology.
So x-ray, that's probably what we're looking at.
Yeah, some floor signs, gift shops, stuff like that.
The morgue, which we did see before.
Yep, and then here is this. Here's an ambulance entrance.
And they will be having an ambulance in game. I mean, they have added the graphics for them.
Yep, they've added that. So this is playing into that a little bit. That's another view of the parking lot there. Here's the main lobby sign, closer up view. This is a really cool picture, this next one, Brian. The pickup truck is backed up to the open graves, and it's just full of body bags.
As someone had said, that's that immersion. That's that, hey, look, there's a story here. Yeah. Someone was unloading these.
Here we go, Brian.
What if they had a bag that had been ripped, that you could tell was ripped open from the inside out, and that's why this guy never unloaded that the rest of the way? You know, I mean, that's the kind of story. It's like, why don't they tell these stories with the game?
Spooky.
You know, it's like, okay, this guy, they were unloading these people and dumping them into this mass grave. And this guy, you know, some zombie comes out of the bag and then kills the people that are supposed to be unloading.
Yeah.
I mean, that for me is like, that's what I want to read into that.
Yeah, this is a really telling picture here.
Unloaded. It's like something happened here.
Exactly. Something happened with that. Going on to our next picture here, there's the logo. You can see that. There's like the quadrahelix DNA thing as part of their logo. The blood splatter all over the rest of it. Here's the ambulance, Brian. This is a destroyed version of the ambulance, but you can see that.
Yeah, very dirty version.
Yep, you can see what that's going. It's weird that the lights are not like all dirty. Those kind of stick out. But like a smashed windshield,
that's definitely rough. Because look at the like the little DNA symbol that's on there. It looks like a cutout square JPEG that was set next to the
logo. Yeah, that was just like a DNA.JPEG on Google. so you can see that.
Google DNA. Yep.
Yeah. Here's next. This is a player model. Some more mock-ups of the human
face. Different type of face.
Yep. And then here you go. Here's that second model of same thing. Another mock-up of a player's face. Something that we could see in game pretty soon. Here is what appears to be some type of
ranger uniform.
Yeah, this is the ranger, like a this park ranger or something like that.
And this is one thing I had hinted at. You know, why don't you get? Because they're going to be having these professions. They're going to have a park ranger profession. Why don't they have it to where if you're wearing this outfit, you get a bonus to your profession?
And what does that say? Is that the state of Georgia?
Georgia.
I can't tell.
It does say state of Georgia.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I couldn't read it before the show, so I just kind of let it go. And
Pleasant Valley, Georgia.
Valley, Georgia. You can see he's got a patch on it on the left-hand shoulder, some blood splatter on him, and then the hat, which the hat looks a little rough.
Not sure
what's going to be happening with that.
Yeah, that's definitely not the finished version.
Yep. Moving on, here is the uniform outside of the player model, so you can see that patch a little clearer now, and then the metal there. Here is, we saw this last week or a few weeks ago, here's just the mock-up of the player model without any skin on it. And then this one, we haven't seen this before, at least I haven't. This is some of the new gear. The toxic green gear in game.
Yeah, we haven't seen it rendered in game. I mean, I haven't seen anybody really running around with it. Yeah.
Yeah, on people. So you can see that, a few of the different items there.
Incredibly bright.
This next one, Brian, is cool. This is the like the hangar warehouse buildings that are looted all
over
the map.
More variations of them.
Exactly. More different colors. And you can see all that stuff in there. Just that, even simple stuff like that, Brian, I swear, will make the game so much better.
It just makes it so when you're going down, it's not same thing. Because right now, you look at the bases, the coloring is so much the same that it's everything blends in together.
Yeah.
With these warehouses, the coloring is all the same. You just are like, okay, that's the same thing, same thing, same thing.
Yep.
You know, getting even if they have the exact, and that's what all these skins are for these shirts and hats and all these things. There's a lot of them that are the same exact model. It's just a slight change to
A different logo.
But it makes it look like a totally different shirt.
Exactly.
They could do that with a lot, not having to redo every single graphic in game, just redo some of the overlay for these graphics, just like this, what they're doing here, and you get a lot more bang for the buck.
There you go. And then quickly wrapping it up, this last picture was one that we saw a few weeks ago as well. This is just the player mesh without any coloring.
This one's with no color. Yeah,
yeah, no color. Just the plain mesh. So that was 20 images that was released. We need that more often, Brian.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's just a lot of new pictures and then some other stuff just kind of thrown in there as well.
Now, there was one that I put that's some Kevlar armor, and I don't remember seeing this before.
Okay, you going to roll
I'm always worried that it's something that we covered a little bit, but I don't remember seeing this before. So here's some new. There is the bright green one that we saw in anticipation of.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen. I definitely haven't seen these.
But these other ones I found, and I just haven't seen anyone else talk about them I've seen.
So the first one on the left for all of our audio listeners is a traditional camo marsh
Kevlar jacket.
Yep, Kevlar jacket. The middle one is the toxic one that we've seen. The third one is some more of a desert kind of backpack, just the tan color. And then the fourth one is a there's a name for this skin. But it's like the goth girl skin or whatever with the skull and the bones and the pink bow. So there are three new sets three new Kevlar armors and then the toxic one.
Whitetail calls that woodland camo.
Woodland camo. Yeah, there you go.
But then they have this pink skulls.
Yeah, the
for the girls.
Yeah, the goth girl camo is where you typically see something like that.
But those are the new ones that I saw in game, and I hadn't really seen anyone post about it or anything like that. But those are some of the new things that we'll be seeing soon.
Now, Brian, you posted another image in here as well. This is from Sebastian, and this was just posted yesterday. We've got new female renders, which is nice. We haven't. We've seen very little of the female renders. So this one is different from what we've seen in the past.
Because you remember that the female models that we've had so far are just slight, like,
variations.
The jawline is slightly different between the two females, and like the eyebrows are more narrow on one versus another. I mean, there's not really that much of a difference between the characters.
This is a completely different player mesh, like something that we haven't seen before.
It's not like the same, you know, graphic kind of put over a little bit different model, or the same model put with a little bit different graphic on top. This is a totally different mesh.
Yeah, the hair is different from what we've seen in the past. You can see the three different pictures here, the side, the head-on, and then kind of the angled view here. It's a nice-looking model. It's different, and the variation is great. This game needs nothing more now than variation.
There's not enough variation.
There's not enough variation. So even the little... I mean, how often are you looking at other player models, realistically? But just seeing different players in the game is going to do a lot for them. So that's really good. That's good. And now, Brian, you want to talk about this next one? Because we just covered the picture before.
Yeah, was the other one. This, I think it's pretty much the same thing with color. I wasn't sure if the other one had all the color on, but this is just the male, another view of the male one. It looks a little bit like Seas to me.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But definitely different from what we have now.
Yeah.
Completely different.
It'd be funny if they start making some of these models like some of the famous streamers. That'd be a little overboard.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say that'd be a little weird.
They could do little sound clips of the different streamers.
They should do one of us. Definitely.
Yeah. Here's Nick with his wild hair.
Whoa.
Oh.
Brian, you posted this next one as well.
So this was something that it almost slipped under the radar, but
hey,
under the radar. So this is one where they figured out why sometimes vehicles would just spontaneously explode. It's just and one of these streamers was actually playing and they caught video of his vehicle just exploding, you know, when it shouldn't have. And so they took that video and they used it to actually figure out where the collision was happening.
Yeah. pretty funny collision
here. So you would run into a street sign and the car would explode.
Yeah, it'd go, you know? It would go straight through the car until it hit like what would equivalently be the engine block, and then it explodes.
So they were actually able to take that video, reproduce it in their studio of here's where it went, here's how it hit, okay, it explodes. Because they weren't able to figure out, they didn't see why it was happening before. They didn't have any evidence that they could rebuild.
It was just reports like, hey, my car randomly blew up. Like,
yeah, from running into something.
Yeah, could you give me XY coordinates on that or something? Exactly.
So this is one where they actually were able to reproduce it, and so that should be cutting back on the number of randomly exploding vehicles. Someone put a note in here, you know, what about all the flipping vehicles? That still does happen.
Yeah.
You and I have discovered that in VRs.
Yeah, but I mean, that was...
it's a lot less than it used to be. It used to be anytime you'd go over a mountain or anything, guaranteed you would flip the car.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a random flip. Like this was, like, Brian, when we flipped, it was because we were going down a mountain at, like, 1,000 miles an hour. I mean, before you used to hit like a little divot in the road and your car would do a barrel roll. Like that's not happening anymore. That hasn't happened in a very long time, to be honest with you.
It definitely is a lot better. So this one, I mean, they had it before to where an arrow would explode a car. Now it's down to smaller items, but hopefully this will cut it out to where it's not such a dangerous thing to drive in a vehicle other than you might get shot.
Yeah. Now, Brian, we had some other news this week.
We
covered that John Smedley a few weeks ago. Schmed, as some refer to him as well. He stepped down as the CEO of Daybreak. That's old news. But the news at that point was he will be back in some form at some time. He was taking some time off after the back and forth that happened on Twitter with the Lizard Squad and the
And he was supposed to come back and in a different role.
That does not appear that it's going to be happening now. According to this Game Informer article, which is in reference to his Facebook profile, the reports are that he has founded a new company this month. And there's no details yet, but his Facebook profile does say he started working at a new company. He is the CEO of a company in San Diego, California. I'm not sure if this is just an FU to Daybreak, or he's actually started a brand new game studio. So I'm not really sure here, but he did not respond to any comments. The Game Informer put out for him, but from what I believe, he is no longer with Daybreak, according to a representative that they talked to. So,
And what he put is, you know, started working at, and then the company name was New Company.
Yeah.
And then it just says, and he actually wrote info coming soon. So
we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of speculation about whether he's starting something, maybe somewhere else hired him.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because he says he's the CEO. So I doubt he'd get hired right into the CEO role. That's interesting.
It is possible.
Yeah.
I mean, if a company is looking for a CEO, that's how that business works.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But we wish him the best of luck. Now, Brian, new people to H1Z1, and I mean new people being people that didn't follow its pre-alpha stuff, need to know that H1Z1 was John's idea.
Yeah.
So
his original broadcast of saying, hey, I have this idea for a game, you know, here's something we've worked on, because they didn't really talk about it until they actually had
something,
a rough draft
of
what it was going to be. Yeah, so what I saw was him streaming actual gameplay of running around. There were zombies. I mean, it is somewhat similar to what we see today.
Now,
and they definitely started and hit the ground running with this.
The question that this poses to me, Brian, is he going to make an H1Z1 competitor? Now, this is his baby. This is his idea.
I don't think it would be smart of him to do that.
But we're seeing the current issues with Daybreak. I mean,
unless he feels that the direction that Daybreak is going is incredibly wrong. You know, I mean,
I don't know. And
this could be where but the thing is, Smedley said he wanted this to be more of a kill on sight PvP type of a game.
Yes.
Right? He didn't want it to be a survival game.
Which I kind of agree with. I thoroughly enjoyed DayZ. And DayZ was not a survival game. DayZ was more of a PvP kill on sight game.
And I think what people are asking for, though, because, I mean, you're one type of player, mm-hmm. but I think there is a very large demographic out there that wants the actual survival game.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And I think that it would be smarter because there are plenty of first-person shooters. There's plenty of PvP games out there right now. And there's the whole aspect of doing the BRs.
Yeah.
The BR really, it takes care of the appetite for those people that really just want to do that. They can sit there and play BRs all day.
Yeah, but BR and... But
they also need to cater to that survival. If they could get it to where, okay, the people buy the game and people subscribe, do whatever they're going to do for the paying for this, which we can get to later. But people come in and either they can choose to do what's going to be a kill on site PvP purely, or come in and play this survival aspect. And then they're going to have all these different layers of types of servers too. So you can still cater to those people.
I'm not... I have no inside information, Brian, like anybody else. I just have a feeling that stuff was not going right when he left. He wasn't maybe liking the direction the game was going. It would not surprise me if he started up some... Not an H1Z1 competitor. Like, you know, hey, I'm going to make this exact same game as H1Z1. But, you know, hey, maybe his... Since this would... potentially this is his own company that he started. He's got... He doesn't have to do a free-to-play model. He doesn't have to regulate... He doesn't have any rules and regulations of what the once was Sony Online Entertainment. He can freely do literally whatever the hell he wants if he can have a development team. So if that's the case...
But if he is truly, like, the idea man that people really pitch him to be, like, and this wasn't just something, you know, a one-time thing that he came up with that was, you know, hey, this is a really great idea. Mm-hmm. He should be able to come up with something new that is different enough yet... is going to be successful.
Yeah. I mean,
if they're paying him a pretty good CEO salary, this is the kind of stuff that you come up with.
Unless he started his own new company, which would be, who knows.
But still, I mean, if you could look at what Apple is today, it was because one guy sat there and pumped out ideas that were always successful. And it made that company. I mean, if he really thinks that he's right on this. And that's one thing that was very different about Apple is their CEO wouldn't back down. He says, I know what's right and I'm going to push it, right?
Yeah.
That happens here and people get so mad, you know, when they say, hey, we think we know what's right and they go against what we say. You know, time will tell how right they are versus how right, you know, the Reddit audience is. But for him, I think he's going to have to come up with something. If he thinks that the H1Z1 went the wrong direction, he could do something new, but in his own way, and not cater to the crowd of Reddit so much. He may be able to come up with something good.
Well, Gadlaw is saying in chat, which is what I agree with. He says, start another zombie game, like this game, but with an engine you want it to be built on. Yeah, you know what?
I mean, that's
hello.
So getting rid of the anchor of this Forge Light engine,
which let's just be honest, Forge Light may have been a good engine 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Not a good engine now. Not a good engine in 2015.
And I think that because we look at Daybreak and what was Sony Online, they've really gotten themselves in a situation because they are tied to that engine.
Yeah, completely. They're tied to their own in-house engine.
I mean, for Smedley to be able to go and say, all right, well, I'm going to start something new and then pick whatever engine he wants, like these other game companies can.
Yeah.
You know, for him, he can start... And he can be so far ahead.
He can start and be ahead of what Daybreak has right now if he has the right team behind him.
Yeah,
it wouldn't take him. In my opinion, I don't think it would take him long at all. I feel like that could be a quick transition. Right, he gets a good engine. He gets a good few game devs in there. A few good graphics guys. You know, he's not more than, I don't know, a year, half a year away from being to where Daybreak is right now.
Yeah.
We've seen how the Forge Light engine has held the game back. For example, the building system, right? That's got to have something to do with Forge Light. Because, I mean, what's the other explanation for Forge Light right now? Or what's the other explanation for them not having a decent building system? It's got to be the engine.
They're limited to what Forge Light is made to do. Because they have to write everything from the ground up. Because
there's no other assets. There's nobody else has built a game like this on like that engine.
I mean, if you look at some of these other engines, you can go and say, hey, here's something that a company has made that we can implement into this other engine.
Bingo.
Here's somebody who made a building system that looks really good. We can purchase the rights to this and we can use it. Like, who's making anything for Forge Light other than Daybreak?
Nobody. You can't. It's not an open engine to be using.
And so they, if they want to have a better base building system, they have to make it from scratch. If they want to have anything, they have to take the time and sit there and develop it. They can't go and get something that another company has already put the time into developing and reap the benefits of that.
And God knows when Forge Light 2 is going to come out, realistically, and what that's going to be like.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're putting their bet out of, hey, we're betting on Forge Light 2 being really good. But Forge Light 2 could come along, and it could still, because they're developing it all in-house, be so far behind the times.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've been developing it for years.
I wouldn't even be able to tell you what it would be. I couldn't even tell you where to start to develop your own game engine. I mean, that just unincredibly complex, right?
Yeah.
You're literally building everything. Your physics, your lighting, your any aspect of the game they have built in. Somebody that either worked for Sony Online Entertainment or worked for Daybreak Now built that engine. Somebody had to say, hey, I want this to function this way. Let's program it to do that. Somebody had to do that.
Yeah.
And people are saying Unity, not for a game like this. The zombie game like this would not fit under the Unity engine, just in my opinion. But still, I seriously think if he wanted to kill H1Z1, Brian, I don't think it's impossible for him to do it.
I don't necessarily think that it's going to be that he would kill it, but it, just like we saw with Ark, if he could pull enough of that audience away to where it would have a major effect on it. I mean, take a look. Certain games have been able to pull that audience away, and whether or not they're coming back is debatable. Mm-hmm. You know, a large number of those people are coming back. We don't know. That's the problem in this type of a system. You pull people away, a new game's going to be out as soon as they're tired of that game.
Yeah.
And then there's always something new. They don't ever have to come back to your game. They'll always have something new.
Exactly. So we'll see. This could potentially get really interesting, Brian.
And we'll just have to keep an eye on, see if he actually posts, or, and he could go nowhere. It could be he's just messing with people.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is with the way he acts, wouldn't surprise me. But if
people in chat are kind of debating between like Source Engine, Unreal Engine.
Yeah, Source wouldn't do it.
But it's still, I mean, graphics wise, it's better than what we see.
Possibly.
With the current
Source,
Forge Light.
The Unity isn't good for that. Unreal would be good. Crytek would be a great engine for this. The Crysis engine. But still, if he has a solid development team, he could make something like H1Z1, right? Maybe more just PvP, like more similar to DayZ. I know I keep bringing that up and everybody hates it, but a game like DayZ, like what the DayZ standalone should have been, he could easily make that happen if he just had a good engine and a good solid few developers. He could easily make that happen.
Yeah,
I mean just look. I mean, you look at the amount of indie. How big is the Ark team? It's not that big.
It's not huge. I mean, it's not like it's way bigger than Daybreak.
It's definitely not bigger than Daybreak's.
But because they had a solid engine that they didn't have to build from the ground up, they could take the time. What they're putting time into is tweaking it.
The map.
They're putting it into the map, the graphics. They're putting it into the physics.
Yeah.
And they're just tuning it to where it seems realistic, not having to write everything to where, oh, we made it so things don't explode randomly today.
Yeah. So, you know, who knows, man? I'm just... pure speculation here. This is what you viewers pay the big bucks for, the speculation segment.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
We'll see. I mean, this is very recent news. We'll see in a month.
Yeah.
What has changed between now and a month.
Yeah, and we'll see. And maybe we'll be the whatever Schmedley wants to call his new game podcast. Who knows? What he'll want to do. But Brian,
he can contact us if he wants to call his new game Infection. I mean, he could.
Hey, I'd be down for that. That'd be perfect. Let's talk about test server patches that happened this week. There were a few this week, and the first one was on the 18th. In this case, it was last week. This was last Tuesday. Brian, and I don't think we did cover this one on the show last week.
No.
I think this was after the show. So,
no, well, this was actually, the 18th, but I think it was at night, like late.
Yeah. So this is just some server performance stuff. some server desync stuff, and then the rewards. At this point, they said
so what we were complaining last week is that we didn't get a reward. So this was done after where they fixed that.
But we got them now, correct, Brian?
I went in there and actually had my rewards from that BR.
Now, you had a little BR story that you were going to talk about pre-show. Do you remember what that is?
Oh yeah.
Do you want to go into that now, or you want to wait?
Well, I was playing BR, and I guess there's been a crash lately with BRs. Okay. And I got to where I'm in fifth place, and randomly my game client closes.
Just randomly closes.
It just closes. It's like, and there was a guy right in front of me. I'm shooting at him. I kill him, and the second that he dies, the game closes.
That's a really old bug where people used to die and it would kill and it would crash you. That's old school bug.
That was incredibly frustrating because I was fifth place. I killed a guy, and then the game just closes. It's not like there's an error message. It's not like it locks up and does anything weird. It just closes and goes right to desktop. I was so mad. I haven't played BR since.
What was this earlier today?
This is like 2 days. This is yesterday, I think.
Okay.
This was yesterday. I was
It was
so
45
mad.
Minutes ago. I haven't played BR since. It's really pissing me off.
Right before the show.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. Good to know that bug is back. That is such an old issue that is back into the game now. I mean, Brian, that was like early days of us doing the show.
Well, I don't know if it was the death or if it's some other, because there was no error message. You know, it was so weird. And it was like, all right, I'm doing, this is good. You know, you get to that point where you're like, okay, we're getting down.
Adrenaline's getting kicked up a little bit. You're like, all right, I can do this.
To that point, it's like, okay, here's a guy. He dies. He falls. And I didn't even get to see him hit the ground all the way before my game closed.
Nothing better than the shooting the shotgun crash.
That was frustrating.
Where you would run into a group of people and just shoot a shotgun in the air, and half of them would crash instantly.
I mean, yeah, all you would do is run around with a shotgun shooting it and watching half the people crash out and the other half lag so bad that you could sit there and then kill them.
Yeah, let's talk about updates, though, that they made to the Brian. This is on the 19th, so this is on Wednesday. They fixed some more.
This is
another test server update as well. They fixed some code and the data to address desync. The desync is what was causing those players to be invisible on certain player screens. The 5-seater vehicles were at that point available in the test servers. They've since, I believe, gone live. And then they fixed the occasional rubber banding movement, which is
I am thinking it could be some things that they're testing on, putting on these test servers of trying to get things more server-side. I mean, I keep bringing this up, but the rubber banding really is server-side stuff. It's your client realizing it's out of sync with the server, which we complained about long ago that this did not happen.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't do server-side checks.
No, and we said, well, literally no server-side checks. They wouldn't check health. They wouldn't check ammo. They wouldn't check location. They were doing no server-side checks. I don't think they were doing a single server-side check the day the game started.
Well, and that was a lot of the problem is hackers could say to the server, well, I'm anywhere or doing whatever I want.
Yeah.
They could go, and the server would never check that was true. Yeah. And I think now we're seeing more server-side checks, and they're trying to balance that out with, okay, there's lag and there's different reasons that the person would be a different place than where the server thinks they are. And that rubber banding effect sometimes is the server saying, no, you're supposed to be over here. And then that person changing over.
Yeah, inherently. Rubber banding is, and if I saw some comments on Reddit, I don't remember what thread it was on, bashing Daybreak about rubber banding. Rubber banding is an issue that every video game that has. Any online video game that requires server-side checks for location has rubber banding.
We have a lot of different players, people with all kinds of different internet. They're not going to be able to totally eradicate rubber banding.
You can't.
Without opening it up to hackers like we saw in the past.
I mean, even Battlefield, and I always bring up Battlefield because it's the perfect example. When Battlefield 3 launched, the rubber banding was unplayable. You would run halfway across the map and get literally halfway across the map, and it would shoot you all the way back to the beginning. That's how bad it was when that first launched. Or Battlefield 4, I don't remember which one it was. But rubber banding is an inherent issue when you add latency, and then you add server delay, and you add ping, and your internet speeds, and all that other stuff. It all adds up, and you get rubber banding. So don't scream at Daybreak about rubber banding, because you can only do so much to combat rubber banding before you're just letting hackers go wherever you want.
You can report it and say, hey, I'm experiencing rubber banding, and they can keep tuning. But at least they're doing this on the test server.
Yeah,
I mean. doesn't seem like it's something they're doing on the regular servers a ton.
Yeah.
Because I haven't noticed it as much on regular servers. I did experience when they really started playing with the settings a number of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of rebanding and then they cut it back.
Yeah. So, Brian, there was an update on the 20th. They were really busy this week with updates. Short updates, but busy with stuff. This was on the 20th. And this was the live server game update. The server shut off at 5 a.m. and they were down for like 3 hours or so. And what they did is they implemented the failed rewards for Team BR into the live game. So at that point on Thursday, everybody saw the rewards start coming back in game. The next thing they did is they did incorporate the 5-person vehicles. So for 5 men BR, 5-man BR, you can actually put 5 people in the same car. Which I guess, did somebody not think about that when they were developing the game, developing 5-man BR? Like, hey, we don't have a vehicle that'll carry these people.
What I think is funny is they didn't put in a new vehicle to accommodate this. They stick 3 guys in the back of a pickup and they stick somebody in the middle seat. I think what is funny is like you have to be that guy sitting in the middle seat of the car.
I'm always that guy. It's so frustrating.
All right, Nick, you get in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. They fixed. God, where was I? You
try to throw. Oh, so, the adjustments to the AI.
Yeah, AI tweaks here. That may be.
So this is going to be zombies or animals. I mean, who knows what they're doing with this in preparation for some of these new zombies. Mm-hmm. It could be. I keep hearing hints that there's been a lot of problems in the past and they've really had to tune down the number of animals and all these things because it was really causing lag on the servers. Because they do all of those animals on the same server as what you're playing on.
Yeah.
I know Ferment has said in the past, you know, you guys should really put these animals in the zombie AI on another server and have them act like a client connecting in. Mm-hmm. And they said that require a lot of reworking to do that. So, you know, they're going to have to balance this out to where it doesn't overload the server by doubling the number of zombies.
Exactly. So other than AIs, they've granted the missing rewards for a lot of people. And then finally they put the client and server side desync stuff into the actual live game. So that is in there now. And that was as of the 20th. So, that was as of last Thursday that all of that stuff was.
And I really like this. I mean, I like that they're putting out multiple test server patches because before they were so set on, we're putting out a patch on Thursday and then that's going live Tuesday. I really like this. Let's keep putting out server test server patches. And then we're putting out a good regular stable server patch.
Yeah.
I think this is a lot better way to do it.
Now, Brian, this next one kind of talks about an issue that you had. So this was the 25th. This was earlier today. This was posted like 3 or 4 hours ago. So this is hot. This is a hot issue. It's the test server updates right off the presses. Gun behaviors have been tweaked, and they should be predictable because right now the gun stuff is very unpredictable. The reloading is not consistent. The sights are, in my opinion, not consistent at all. That stuff should all be more consistent now. The sights should be aligned correctly and fire predictably. And then the reloading should be consistent as well. Animations. This has been an issue for a while now where you have random arms and legs and other body parts just swing behind you.
This is something I've been seeing like crazy. I mean, they said they adjusted it, but my guy, every time he runs with a gun, his hand is in the middle of his side. And he just runs there like that.
Fixed now. This was done today.
But this is on the test server. So on the regular servers, we probably won't see this until they put out the next patch.
Mm-hmm, possibly. And the crashes, Brian, this may have been your BR thing. They fixed a lot of little things in here with crashes. Yep. And then performance. They're asking, they must have tweaked something because they're saying if... people are seeing changes in performance either, you know,
FPS, if they're getting higher frames.
Yeah, or how the game feels.
Smoother, probably.
Yeah. So that's interesting. And that's all in the test server. And then there's just a little thing here on how to make sure that you have the correct files. But that's, you're up to date pretty much on what's going on this week in terms of updates for the game. Not a lot of stuff, but a lot of important stuff, Brian.
Yeah.
Stuff that they needed to implement, stuff they needed to get figured out. I like that they're not so set to a schedule, right? They can just work. They can get their work done. They can get it done correctly. well, then they can worry about putting
with that on. With that roadmap, they were getting in such a frantic, like, we got to get this out. We got to get this out. Oh, we have to announce that we're not getting these other things out and people will get mad. I think that this is so much better of a system because we haven't heard since they've started this new system, people saying, hey, you said you were going to put this in and you haven't. I mean, I haven't heard anybody say that, but we were constantly hearing that during that.
They set the bar up this high and they were only making half of that because they were saying, well, this week we're going to add professions, but then bugs would come in, and this.
And it's like, exactly. Then they'd have to choose, well, do we let these bugs go, which they were doing, and try to keep up with some of these the new content that we're going to promise? And they would, one week they would put out the new content. The next week they would try to fix the bugs, and it was never consistent. I think this is a much more consistent way of doing it. And, you know, we did get a note that we got an email back, and they said, hey, not everything is going into BRs.
Yes.
Because I know that's one thing that we kind of speculated about last week, and you had said some things about, but it's not, they're telling us that just because this competition's coming up, not everything up until then is going to be dumped into BRs. They are still putting new content into
I necessarily said, but I just, you know,
I think that's what they got out of it.
Well, and rightfully so, because in some respect, there is stuff that, you know, when you feel like, hey, we have this tournament coming up, I didn't say, you know, hey, they're not even going to touch survival, but, you know, they're going to put more
emphasis
on getting BR polished off. I mean, it's going to be in the limelight.
They should be doing that anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, if this many people, so many people are playing BRs compared to regular, they need to continue to polish that, but they also need to continue to grow the regular because they decide, well, what do we do? Dump the regular survival aspect of this game and just make the game BR? Well, I mean, they could almost do that. There would be a dedicated group of people that would just play BRs.
And then
they wouldn't even care that the rest of the game is gone.
Yeah. So
imagine how much time it would save them.
Yeah,
and they wouldn't have to worry about all this stuff.
And then Smedley could come out and grade his H1Z1 game, and then there'd be no competition at all.
There you go.
Perfect solution there.
We just called it. Hopefully we didn't predict that.
I hope so. I hope not, because then we're going to have to change the name of our podcast and everything. It's going to be a real pain.
Yeah, unless he names it Infection. So as long as Smedley's, if you're listening, just name your new company Infection.
This is Infection, the Infection podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, August 25th.
This is literally like the Infection podcast. We're just the podcast about Infection.
Hey, we're just the Infection. We're just the podcast about H1Z1. So
there we go.
Yeah.
All right. So they have this video. I wasn't sure if you wanted to play that. It's not really great for audio listeners, but we do have a video that kind of goes over a lot of things, and there's some new things in this video that maybe we could comment on after.
Do you want me to play the audio of the video, or do you want me to? I don't remember what the audio is.
It would be very, it's just music.
Is it?
So I mean, you could play it, but it'd be very difficult because we're going to be out of sync because I can't see.
Oh, yeah, because you can't see. It's not a, is it creative?
I can't play it at the exact same time.
Now, Brian, is this Creative Commons music, or is this like a real song?
It's just like, it's probably Creative
Commons. Okay, because I'm just, you know, I don't want to get a flag. I don't want to get flagged on YouTube for it, so.
Yeah, it's not really words or anything. It's just kind of a
okay, well, if that's the case, audio. That's the case, Brian. We are going to roll into the video right now. And there we go. That is the August art team wrap-up video.
And they had a lot of things that we haven't really heard about in there.
Like the female zombie at the end.
So they actually had the female zombie. They have this dog like.
Yeah, here, I can pull these up.
It's a cheetah, actually.
Yeah, let's see if I can find this.
Now, how often are there cheetahs in Georgia? I mean, there are a lot of cheetahs in Georgia.
I don't know, Brian. I don't live in Georgia.
Did it escape from a zoo? Is this going to be another point of interest that
it's
brings
Zoo Tycoon?
Weird animals into the game?
Zoo Tycoon 2001.
We could build a zoo in game.
Yeah, that'd be great. Here's the cheetah.
There's a cheetah in the game.
A bobcat. It doesn't look like a dog.
It was really hard to see the graphic with it moving.
Is that
a bobcat?
It's got spots on it. It's like a leopard. It's a spotted animal.
It almost looks like, what are those animals in Australia?
Like a prairie? It's not a prairie dog.
I don't know. I can't imagine what in Georgia looks like that.
I think it's a wolf. I think it's just a wolf, but the graphics are all messed up.
It is not.
It's a bobcat. There you go. A hyena?
It looks like a hyena, but I can't imagine how a hyena gets into Georgia.
Well, Brian, it's kangaroo. There you go. That was the animal you talked about from Australia.
Yeah, we got kangaroos now in the game.
You can hide
this
in
all
their,
makes sense.
You can hide in their pouch and hop along the map and just pop out and shoot at people.
I mean, that's the thing. To me, it looks like a hyena, but why there would be a hyena there, I don't know.
It doesn't seem to fit the survival aspect at all.
Yeah, I mean, the graphics aren't that great because it zips by really quick.
Now, I want to cover something else, Brian. For anybody that's watching at home, if you want to go to 50 seconds on YouTube, you can look at this clip here. This shows a zombie walking, and its right leg is totally screwed up. Like, it's like the right leg is, like, way too high. Like, something is not working right there, which I thought was interesting.
Well, I mean, if you're a zombie and only 1% of your brain is working, maybe you would walk like that.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed a little odd there.
A lot of what they showed was, okay, so they're working on splatter effects of when a shot comes from a certain distance, mm-hmm. you know, it comes out of the body, the ways that they showed the female zombie running, the way that she moves, you know, in different speeds. Crawling effects along the ground where it's not so weird. I see that one where that it looks like a hyena. If you look at 34 seconds, what is that?
We just talked about that, isn't it?
34. Yeah, seconds. I'm just saying, like at 34 seconds.
Yeah,
see,
I was playing it back. I don't really know. It's spotted.
It is a weird looking animal. If this were DirectX 11, I'm sure we'd be able to tell what it was.
Oh, it's DirectX 6 running on this computer. Wonderful.
And then, now one thing, go to 45 seconds.
Okay, 45 seconds, okay.
And they have like a building up on top of a weird plateau.
It's like a perch.
Yeah, what is that?
It's a shed.
I've never seen. It's a shed sitting up on top of just a mound of dirt. It's why is that on the test server?
It doesn't look like a mound of dirt.
It's like a plateau.
Yeah, it looks like a concrete plateau of some sort.
So that's something that we haven't seen yet in game. I'm kind of wondering, you know, what is that asset for?
Yeah. Now I'm gonna skip to the end here on you, Brian, and we're gonna look at the female zombie.
Because there's a lot of detail that looks much better than the male zombie. Because all the male zombies seem to always have shirts on, yep. right?
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have rendered the model fully clothed, which makes a problem is they can't have variations in the clothing other than sticking stupid hats on them.
Oh, and, which is and motorcycle helmets and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is exactly what we've seen.
Yeah. So that was the female zombie at the end there. Sorry for all of our audio listeners. There's not much you can do.
We'll have a link in the show notes.
Yes.
You can definitely should go check this out because they did do a really good job with that graphic.
Yeah. And that whole thing at the end there, that was the, I like that. They should do that every month. That was the August wrap up, just a bunch of stuff that they've been working on.
Because they don't always, as you see, don't always post this stuff.
Yeah.
On Twitter or on Reddit or anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. Brian, I have some breaking news to inform you about.
We
have our second BR Badass officially announced here. This is on the H1Z1 game official Twitter, and we're going to say congratulations to Chef Gobe, G-O-B-E. He is
Gobe.
I don't even know how you'd pronounce it, but he is our second BR badass. And there's a picture of the team here in all chef's hats, superimposed behind one of the H1Z1 restaurant kitchens. So you can see some of the H1Z1 team members there. And there's a video link to that as well. But congratulations to him. He is the second.
He's invited to the Invitational.
He's the Invitational. He is officially, Brian, a BR badass, which I still think is an interesting move from PR to throw that into your thing.
Well, it looks kind of weird. It's BR. It's like be right back.
BRB.
At us.
Yeah. There you go. Let's talk about Invitational prize pools now, Brian, because this is pretty significant.
It's hitting my guess. Remember?
What was your guess? 100,000?
I said they've got to at least do 100,000. And you were like, they're never going to do 100,000.
I still think
it's fake.
No, I didn't.
Or sponsors are putting up all this money.
I said that last week. I still think this is an inflated number from sponsor money.
I don't think so.
Brian, that's like $500,000 in keys.
Yeah? They may be doing very well.
Well, money's tight apparently at Daybreak. So that's I'm just gonna say money appears.
Just gonna leave it out there like that.
just gonna air that out. Money's a little tight at Daybreak. So,
well, they don't have a budget to fly out a promotional department, I guess.
Yeah. So that's all I'm saying. Current. Wow. Current. I didn't think I'd go that far. Current prize pool, 92,535 is the current prize pool for the Invitational. Gadlaw's bought two keys,
and so they've done two. They did the Shmoo Google, and now Chef Gobe.
Yep.
So those are two that have done so far. On the 27th, so in 2 days, they're going to be announcing another one, and then on the 3rd, they're going to be announcing the fourth person.
Yeah, and you can see they added this page last week after they announced Shmoo Google was going to be there. And you can view the submissions and stuff like that. So these guys are there. And let's see, what's next?
Do you think they're going to bring on any more sponsors? I mean, they've got Razer and Alienware.
No, I don't think so.
Probably about it.
Yeah.
Maybe they're setting up, if this is really successful next year, it means sponsors will probably be jumping on this, if this turns out to be very successful.
And us jumping on that as well, possibly. Yeah. But no, I mean, all they need for this event, they don't need to pay for a venue. TwitchCon's giving them the venue, obviously. All they need is the computers, realistically. Yeah. So, no, I doubt anybody else would hop on to the sponsorship train at this point. I don't think they need it. It's not their own event. They're riding on, and I say this isn't meant to be degrading, but they're riding on the coattails of TwitchCon. They're doing it at TwitchCon. There's no, you know, overhead. They don't have to fly.
There's going to be a very large audience, and all these people are getting.
They're flying.
Be there.
All they have to do is fly four people out and put them up in a hotel for 2 nights. And whatever that cost is, which is marginal if they're making $500,000 on keys, or whatever the number would be. There you go. 92,535 is the current Invitational pool.
Yeah.
Brian, I didn't think it was going to get that high.
It's going to only go higher. It's still got some time.
Yeah. Now.
So wait. Okay. Now that you've seen it go this far, where do you think it's going to end up?
Well, we're still a month away from TwitchCon. It's the 25th and 26th, so we're still. I'd say.
So, do you think they're going to hit 200,000?
No, 150.
All right,
150, 175. No way they hit 200K.
I'll call it then. I'll say 200,000.
Right, are we putting an ante up on this?
No, we're not betting.
we're not betting on the odds of this.
No, but I will say I think that they're going to probably hit 200,000.
All right. Now, Brian, we talked about this last week. Our buddy Landgun,
yes,
sent us some stuff. Infected Joe is, you know, this is what I want. This is what I want, everybody. Tweet us what you think they're going to reach.
What's the prize pool going to end
what's
up?
What's the
being?
Prize pool? We need a hashtag, Brian. What's the hashtag going to be? We need to get all of our ducks in a row here.
Well, we got to come up with something that makes sense.
We'll do this live on the show, and I'm going to tweet mine out right now. I just need the hashtag.
Hashtag You could do a hashtag H1Z1 pool.
There you go. Infection pool.
Infection pool.
Let's see. Hopefully there's... Infection pool is the hashtag. So I'm calling it at 100... I'm tweeting from the Infection Podcast account.
Ask price.
175,000 with the hashtag Infection pool. INFECTIONP.
Sorry, Zig. That one might already be taken.
So. Yeah. Yeah, don't put that hashtag on Twitter. Definitely, I would not do that.
You never know what you'll end up with.
Yeah, so an infection pool is the hashtag to hit. So we'll have that in the show notes as well, and you could do that. Nobody's gonna even tweet us. That's the sad reality of this. We've got like all these people. We got like 30-something people in chat right now. Nobody will tweet that. We're gonna be the only ones, and we'll cover those at the end of the show. What people think. So get your bids in now. We're gonna do this.
I'm 200,000. You're what? 175. You kind of jumped up to 175. No, what is your serious?
150. But since you're 200, I did 175. That's our average. Infection's average is 175.
Okay.
So we'll see what everybody. We'll do this every week if anybody's interested. Right here on the spot. Getting back to what Landgun did. He sent us a bunch of really cool stuff here, Brian.
I can't show it off because mine, I don't think it's going to be here till tomorrow.
Yeah, and now we were going to wait till next week, but Brian said just go for it.
Go for it.
So first off, we want to thank Landgun, and we'll have some links for him after we talk about this stuff. First, look at this, Brian. This is an H1Z1 t-shirt, something that we don't have from the company, let me mind you.
I do hint at this constantly. Why don't we have a beanie or a shirt from H1Z1?
This is the front is the H1Z1 logo, and the back is his Twitch.tv.
Now, if we get a cease and desist for this, this is not cease and desist. How about Daybreak just send
this
us
isn't
a
H1Z1's
shirt.
Logo. This is a this is a modified logo, and the back just says put the HTTP. That's his Twitch channel, Twitch.tv/Landgun44 on the back of that.
And he streams quite often. So.
Yeah. Now, Brian, you haven't even seen any of this stuff yet.
No, this is all new to me too. So I'm kind of waiting for the lag of the
this next one, Brian.
This
next one would be really cool if you're going to the H1Z1 Invitational, Brian. It's like a press pass. It's made out of metal, and this is it right here. This is the Infection H1Z1 podcast. It's got my name on it, and it's full metal. It's a metal little card there, and then the back just has the Twitch TV logo, and then his Landgun45 logo, or Landgun44 logo. And then that comes with a lanyard. So you can you can hang that around your neck and do all that cool stuff with it. Brian, this next thing you're not going to believe.
All right. Now, that one would have really come in handy if we had been at TwitchCon.
Brian, you know those things that you put on your desk with your title, like president?
Yes.
Well, we've got those now, too.
Nice.
I'm trying to show this. The stream isn't picking it up too well. This is
So you had it behind you. I didn't even see it.
Yeah,
there.
It was behind me the whole show. I'm trying to get this without the glare. That's my Nick Craig... little metal thing there. The Infection logo is in the upper corner here, but I'm trying to show it. It's not working out. There's that. And then I have this other one as well that he did. He did two of them.
Very nice.
I imagine you're going to have these as well. Nick Craig on that. And then I don't think I'm missing. The last two things are big stickers. Like this Infection, this is a pretty decent sized sticker here. A full on Infection sticker. A bumper sticker for your car. He sent a lot of those, so we'll be sending some of those out to our viewers, and then we've got a smaller version of that Infection sticker as well. So we'll come up with some type of contest or something to get rid of these because there's also he sent us some Solid State Gaming stuff.
Oh, nice! So that's the clan that he's a member of.
Yeah, I almost forgot.
Very active clan.
Yeah, there's some Solid State Gaming graphics in there as well. So if we've got any members of Solid State, we can send some of those out. But there's got to be like three or four of the big ones, and then probably 10 or 15 of the small ones of those little vinyl decals there. So we want to thank our friend Landgun44. Yeah, Landgun44. We'll have some links in him on Twitch. For sending us this stuff. So I gotta put my nameplate back behind me. I had it there the whole show. I didn't think it's really hard to see, but
we've already got someone in chat saying, "Hey, I'm Solid State. Send it to me."
Yeah. So we'll find out some type. We'll do some kind of contest. You know what we'll do? Winner of the pool.
That can get a prize.
Yeah. Winner of the pool. We'll send you some swag.
Very nice.
So guess the pool total. We'll have to keep. We'll have to make a spreadsheet for this, Brian. We've already got some people tweeting it, so we'll have to keep track of that. Where are we, Brian?
So we're current players, and
you want to stall for a minute? I don't know if it's going to be updated. I don't even know if I want to. I guess I can cover the 24-hour.
Yeah, I mean, you can go over passwords because if you look, it's actually gone back up. Right now, it's at 15,000, over 15,000.
Yeah, is that live?
I guess
we'll go with those numbers. So what we currently have, so there was an issue today with Steam. Steam was on and off, and this.
But if you look at, you can see that drop.
Yeah.
If you look at the day, like Steam goes to zero.
Yeah, so
and then it jumps back up. I mean, they lost a couple thousand active players.
Yeah, so let's take a look at our. Here is our current players graphic. Currently, there's 15,276 players right now. Our 24-hour peak is 18,361 players, and our 7-day peak is 21,924 players. Now, Brian, this is down. This is dramatically down from what we've seen weeks past. I don't know if this is the H1Z1 Invitational wearing off or what, but 15,000 and 18,000, Brian, are numbers that we were seeing pre-H1Z1 Invitational announcement.
Okay, let's look at what was earlier today before Steam crashed.
Well, earlier today wasn't even that good.
It was just under about 18,000. It was probably about 18,000.
Yeah, well, that was the peak, 18,361. Yeah.
But I mean, it was right there consistently. The crash happened, and then it dropped down to where it's at the 15,000 right now. So, but still, that is going down. If you look at the 1 month, there's the August 16th date.
And
you can see that it drops down.
We're starting to climb
the 21st.
Back down. Yeah.
It went up to 23rd, so that was over the weekend. People playing up until Sunday, and now it's dropping back down again. So
it's like the stock market. Get your money out while you can.
Yeah, maybe we'll find this is directly linked to the stock market.
Yeah. Knowing our luck, it will be. So I'm not trying to... I don't know what I'm trying to say here. The peak players for the week is down almost 4,000 players, which is something that was interesting. Prior to the last... Last week, 7 day was like 24,000 or 25,000.
It was over 25,000.
Yeah,
think.
So it's down 4,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 players from where it was last week. Is this a sign to worry? No. If there's a wipe this week or next week, whenever they do that, the players will shoot right back up because
it'll jump over 20,000 right after the wipe.
Yeah,
and Gadlaw makes a good point. He says people went back to school.
True. School did start
school
for a lot of people.
School just started. Imagine how many people are now just playing school, or rather than playing during the day, they're having to go back to school.
Yeah, I just spent $350 on textbooks today. I mean, school season is approaching fast.
But there are a lot of high school age players.
Well, high school it depends on high school. College started up for a lot of places the week before, or this Monday was a big thing for a lot of colleges.
So you got to think the 21 and under group has pretty much cut down on their playing time.
Yeah. So we'll see how that affects, or we'll see, I guess we're really gonna have to wait till next week to see how.
Gadlaw wants to know. He says you got one book. Are you taking the super slow?
No, that was three books.
Three books.
Yeah, but it's my first year. So, and it's a community college. So the book, I'm not going to be a neuroscientist. So it's
a rocket surgeon.
Yeah. Rocket surgeon. So it really doesn't matter. I'm not doing those kind of books, but either way, that stuff's starting back up. So we will wait and see on current players. And then again, I don't even know how accurate that current 15,000 is, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean,
because now that Steam was down for the people and they may have just said, screw this. And they went and did something else, which is a possibility.
I think that it would be up to about 16,000. I think we'd only have like 1,000 to 1,500 more people right now if it hadn't crashed by the trend that it was doing.
Yeah. So maybe people are just like fed up and they're like, hey, I'm going to go play something else
or their game closes randomly on them when they're winning BRs.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner, Brian.
Hey, at least we had a member of one of our listeners actually send us winner, winner, chicken dinner shirts to make up for it.
Yeah. It makes you feel a lot better about yourself.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Brian, you got a segment you do here.
Yes. So our tips of the week is when we, first of all, have a beginner tip that's for anybody starting out. maybe someone who hasn't played H1Z1 very long or even played any survival or first-person shooters. And then we have our advanced tip. This one's actually pretty advanced this week.
I
went a little bit farther than normal this week to push the advanced level. So this can be something that even if you have been playing these types of games, this tip, for instance, is going to be something that maybe you've never heard about or you do not know how to do. So we have our tips of the week.
And it looks like I'm gonna have plenty of time to go out and get some ice cream or something, because it's gonna be
there are a lot of notes.
Long tips of the week. Here we go.
This will be in our show notes.
Here we go.
All right, so our beginner tip, and this was actually suggested last week. Someone suggested we explain how to roll around on the ground.
I think this was me, wasn't it? Or was it somebody in chat?
Somebody in chat said,
because I was mocking you, sort of.
You were mocking me, and someone said, well, because they thought that my beginner tip was a little bit advanced. And so they were like, well, why don't you just teach people how to roll around?
Okay, I'll let you go to it, Brian.
So I figured I would explain how to actually go prone and roll around on the ground. So to lay down first of all, you need to press Z. It can be trickier than you think.
Brian, okay, my keyboard isn't working, Brian. Do I have to plug it into my computer? I mean,
okay. So not everybody knows. And then remember, this is a beginner tip of the week.
I'm sorry. I'll let you go. I won't interrupt.
Thank you. So if you press Z, it'll let you lay down. It is somewhat sensitive, though, because if there's anything around you, it'll put up a message saying that you can't go prone here. So you need to make sure you have a little bit of a clearing around you. And then once you're laying down on the ground, you can push Shift A to roll left or Shift D to roll right. So this is going to be something that you got to be careful of, because if either you roll into something, it may not let you stand back up again. Or we found that if someone comes up and stands on top of you, you're stuck in that position. You can't actually stand up and you can't roll anymore. So we've had our clan members, they enjoy rolling around and then people standing and getting people stuck in game to where they can't move anymore. So in game, press Z to lay down. So if you didn't know, that's the most beginner tip. Push Z, it'll put you down flat on the ground. And then you can do Shift A to roll left, Shift D to roll right. So be careful, though. You may get stuck and you may die because of that.
Or Falcon's Watch saying, can he roll on punji sticks, Brian?
It probably is possible. It probably will do no damage to you.
They don't tend to do any damage at all. So
so for our advanced tip, this is something that is game-related, but people wonder sometimes how we get graphics out of the game. So I figured for an advanced tip, I would explain how you can view game assets from H1Z1. Today, there was a new patch that came out for the test server. Maybe you want to go in there and see if some new items were placed in the game. And we'll have links in the show notes for this. But there is a program called PS2LS that lets you open up the asset files of the game. And I'm sure Daybreak is going to love me for explaining this. But it's a small program that allows you to browse and extract PlanetSide 2 pack files from the model files. Well, H1Z1 and PlanetSide 2 use the same engine, and they have the same type of file structure. Actually, a lot of the files were brought in initially from PlanetSide and put into H1Z1, so you actually will see some leftover game files of things that are in PlanetSide.
You're like, oh my god, they're adding a spaceship into H1Z1? What is this?
Where's the space station coming from? You'd be surprised what you'll find in there.
Yeah.
But what you can do is download this program, and it will let you view the 3D models or, you know, like those Kevlar jackets that we had seen that you could put on. I was actually able to pull those out with this program. So it's called PS2LS. We'll have a link for it to download. And then there is a trick, though, because I found that
delete system 32. That's the trick.
Yeah, don't delete your system 32 folder. When opening this application, hit no to the first thing that it prompts. It wants to know if you want to load all pack files, yes or no. Hit no to that. And then what you can do is press, so there's a little package icon with a plus next to it, push that, and then we'll have a link to where your asset file should be. I'll have a link to where the test server asset files are, and then we'll have a path to where the regular server asset files are. So definitely check out our show notes. You browse to those, load those in, and then you'll be able to, inside the program, look at a lot of 3D models. So if you want to go and see the 3D models for some of the hospital things, for the vehicles, all these different things, and then if we really wanted to get advanced, we'd explain how to export those and put them into a 3D modeling program, but that's not going to happen during this typical week. So those are our tips of the week.
Wow, Brian. I mean, you went from totally two polar opposites. You went from how to
beginner and advanced. It should be two polar opposites.
Yeah, but I'm... Yeah, Musty said it may have been easier to make a video on that. Yeah, that's something to think about. I think they're already out there, though. Thank you, Brian.
Someone wanted to know, can I extract the mesh? Yes, you can extract the mesh. So it lets you actually pull out something that is importable into whatever 3D modeling program you like to use.
Jeez. All right.
Getlaw says, that's too hard. That's why it's advanced.
Yeah, but Brian, your beginner tip was how to roll. I mean, Jesus. How to launch H1.
Last week you guys said that it was too, the beginner tip was too hard.
The problem was the beginner tip and the advanced tip were very closely associated.
So now I took the point. I was like, okay, you want beginner and you want advanced. There you go.
I think you really should have. Falcon got lost once you started talking about what keys to press. So you slow down a little bit on the beginner tips. Like,
what's a D?
What's the Z? Oh, I need to use my keyboard.
So advanced is saying he's a texture mesh artist. So yeah, so this program would work for you. You can export them out. That's how sometimes we'll render models of, you know, like the police uniform, things like that. We actually export those out and do that.
Yeah, there you go. How to make coffee is your beginner. How to make biofuels, your advanced. Problem solved.
I think he's suggesting some more beginner tips.
Oh, no, I think those would fit perfectly, beginner to advanced.
No, that is a good idea. I could explain how to make coffee because there's a lot of people who don't know.
And then do a real live demo of making coffee.
Thanks, Musty. How to crouch. That's going to be.
See, you should have done how to walk.
I've been asking for suggestions for these, and now everybody's throwing them at me.
How to walk, how to crouch, and how to prone, and then roll. That's 4 weeks worth of advanced tips for you, Brian. I mean,
yeah, so today we're going to crouch.
Yeah, we're going to crouch this week.
I figured we would go straight to the roll.
Thank you for that, Brian. That was really good. The advanced tips. It's in the show notes every week. So if you want to go back and look at, if you're driving in your car and you're trying to write down on your hand, like what to do,
I've got all the details in the download links.
Uh-huh. So we've got all that stuff in the show notes.
Musty says I've been yet to be asked for a tip.
Why am I
supposed to go ask each person individually to give me a tip?
Our group is so entitled. You have to specifically ask everybody or their feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
How to make swizzle.
Perfect. So here's my general announcement. If you'd like to suggest a tip of the week, how about you email us? Contact@infectionpodcast.com.
Or the contact form on the website.
Or you can go to the contact form and email me suggestions for contact, because I make these up every week. You'd be surprised.
Sometimes you forget.
I didn't forget. I just hadn't written one in the show notes a couple weeks ago.
All right. Brian, I think that about does it. And Brian, every week... We're taking the chainsaw to the time. Every week, it's come back a little bit and a little bit.
I know. By the end of the year, we will be at our 45 minutes.
Yeah, possibly. About an hour and a half, so we're getting that done. But quickly, Brian, before we get out of here, and I realize that we totally forgot to do something this week, which we promised we would do, is support us. How can you support Infection Podcast? This is a question we get every once in a while. And I say every once in a while because it's, you know, people just watch and then, you know, that's that, which is fine. But there is a few ways you can, if you're interested. First way is, first thing you got to do is go to our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. You can go to /support or just go to the homepage and there's a thing in the nav bar or there's a little box on the left-hand side. But once you are there, there are a few different options. You can support us by using our Amazon affiliate link or give us a direct donation on PayPal. Either way, we appreciate your support. And you know, one of the biggest things, Brian, if you can't do anything, and you can't afford to watch or pay anything or anything like that, come watch the show live.
Yeah, like, that's always more fun.
It's like we've been playing off the chat a lot this show. So if you're somebody that doesn't watch the show live and you listen to it after the fact and you are free Tuesday nights, just definitely, definitely watch the show live. Come in the chat. We had almost 30 people in chat today. And it works out really well for a lot of people. So you can watch us live there. Enough of that, Brian. Where can people find you on the internet?
Yep. If you want to go find us on the internet, feel free to, for me, go to buydevtech.com. Or you can go to google.com/+ Brian Aldridge. And on Twitter, I'm at Boise Computer. You're more than welcome to. Except for it seems like I'm always logged into the infection account.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm always logged into it as well.
So I guess maybe you should make sure you follow infection.
We will get the UK and Canadian links done today.
Yeah, we actually said that last week that we were going to do it, and we talked about it.
It just never happened.
But we didn't create them.
Yeah.
And then
it's all Brian's fault, guys. Blame Brian. Yeah. Boo.
Yeah, sorry. I started doing that. And then one thing that you could do is if you go to our website, you see join our Steam group. That's one good way. If you want to be able to see us on your Steam list, be able to talk to us, go to infectionpodcast.com, click join Steam group on the right, and you can become a member. We have over 200 members, 288 members. So we're approaching 300 members for that Steam group.
Now, Brian, do you want to quickly update our live viewers on Minecraft? Is that still happening?
Yes, we have been playing Minecraft.
I'm being honest. Is that still going on?
So we have been playing Minecraft. I added one thing that would be fun this week is I added a mode for Hunger Games.
Oh, really? You added that yourself?
Yes.
Wow.
And so we have a portal that will go to a Hunger Games mod where if we get enough people in there, like it starts you out in the cubes around the circle and the cornucopia, and it
now Brian,
like, it will drop on a timer and do everything.
There's something you may not know here.
Okay.
I was one of the first Twitch streamers to stream H1Z1 Hunger Games. I'm not even joking you.
This is H1Z1 like, Hunger Games. Oh,
Minecraft Hunger Games. There's no such thing as H1Z1 Hunger Games.
Yet.
Now,
why not? I mean, they've got. Yeah, this could be another form of.
But like
VR.
When that thing was like getting really hot. When the first movie came out. This was like 2011 or no, not yeah. not 2012, something like that. When it was getting really hot with that game, I was the first one streaming that on Twitch. One of the first.
Yeah. So it looks like it's gonna be fun, but we haven't had enough people on at once to be able to have it activate because it's all automated.
Yeah.
So, and I accidentally keep destroying blocks because I'm a mod. And so when I hit something, I'm an op. So when I hit something, like it goes away, and then you're not supposed to be able to destroy things in there.
Yeah, well, you got to de-op yourself before you play.
Yep.
Problem solved. Alrighty, Brian. Thank you. Do you have anything else? I mean, you said your social places. You good besides that?
Yep, I'm good to go.
Alrighty, guys. Like I said earlier before, watch the check out the show live. You really should. We do the show the same time, same place every week. It's every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East. It's right here on twitch.tv/infectionpodcast or infectionpodcast.com/live. You can get us pretty much wherever podcasts are available. This thing is still out there. If you use a podcast app or a audio consumption app and we are not listed on there, send us an email, contact@infectionpodcast.com, and we will I'll make sure we get listed on there. There's just so many different places, and trying to keep up with all that stuff is not the easiest. So that's going to about do it for this week's episode of Infection. My name is Nick Craig. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. And we'll see you next week for Infection, everybody. Have a good night, guys.